History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Welcome to History Makers Radio. I'm Wes Leek, and it's my pleasure to have Hudson Dale joining us today. Hudson, welcome to History Makers Radio.
Hey, Wes. How are you, sir?
We've known each other for many years, Hudson, and
yes.
And it's been a privilege to know you and to see how God is using you. So I look forward to hearing your story today and sharing your story with others. Let's get a bit of history, your story. Where were you born and raised?
Very inbred to Brisbane. I was born in Bootheville Birthing Suites, Birthing Hospital at Windsor, Wilston, somewhere around there. Then most of my childhood was Nudgee Beach, which is a really cool place to grow up, like a small country town in the city with a beach, mangroves, and always been a Northsider.
What about coming to faith? Tell me about your story. Were you raised in a Christian home?
Yeah. So my mum was a Presbyterian minister's daughter. So she would take me to Scots Presbyterian at Clayfield as a young kid. My dad was never a believer. He may have given his life to God on his deathbed. We're not sure. But he's been gone for 15 years. Mum's been gone for 6. My dad was a businessman. He got into a bit of trouble, and so my mum didn't want me to turn out like him. So she kind of took me to church out of fear. At least I ended up there, and she had a lot of her family praying for me, which is lovely. And I gave my life to God when I was 4. I was by myself, and I definitely felt God's presence. It was very real, and I'm very careful what I say I do around 4-year-olds, because if I was able to do that by myself, I think we underestimate little kids. Mum took me to different youth groups, and I rededicated my life to God when I was about late 17, early 18, as a young man, as you do.
For context, you're working things now.
I work at Rain and Horn Commercial as a commercial real estate agent. Prior to that, I've done all sorts of jobs, retail, concreting, landscaping, factory work.
Hudson, one of the things I appreciate about you is we would class you as an evangelist. You're a relationship builder. You do incredible things. Tell us about the story of the blue light disco when you were growing up.
Doesn't surprise me that you'd ask about that. So when I was in grade 9 at Banyo High, I was one of the new kids at school, and the youth leader was one of the dads, and the youth group was only 12 kids, but 2 of them were very attractive private school girls. So I was quite enthusiastic about this certain youth group as a young 14-year-old boy. And the youth leader said, I want you to invite your friends. We're going to have a little blue light disco. One of the other dads had a lighting company. And so I thought to myself, you know, I really want my school to get to know God and get saved. And so I got an A4 piece of paper. I wrote the time and date and the address about 20 times on this A4. Now, I took it down to the local newsagent and I printed it about 20 times. It's probably about 5 cents a sheet back then. And I cut all these invites up individually, little cubes, and I stood at the gate of the high school and handed it to literally every kid that went through the gate. And one of my best friends from Nudgee Beach, he was the assistant school captain, and he got the school captain at assembly to say, you know, nothing goes on around Banyo, and Hudson has invited us all to this disco, and I think we should all go. And that was on the microphone during the school assembly. And sure enough, absolute chaos ensued. There was graffiti on the toilet wall. There was drunken fights in the street. There was broken, smashed bottles everywhere. It was absolute pandemonium. I thought, that was really cool. I was pretty pleased with myself. And the youth leader took me aside the next day and absolutely berated me and said, "Hudson, when I told you to invite your friends, I only meant one or two." And I was horribly offended and annoyed and angry and never went back to that youth group again. We went to Sandgate Baptist, I think it was, with David Perez. Big shout out to Dave.
Hudson, what I like about that story is it gives a real insight into you, though, your heart and compassion for others to know about Christ and to want to invite the world to doing that.
I think it's Charles Spurgeon said, "If you're not concerned about the salvation of others, it's highly likely you're not saved yourself." And whilst that's not potentially scriptural, it's like, you know, when God touches you and fills your heart with joy and peace and love, I don't think the evangelists are the extroverts of the world. I think they're just the ones that get over their own fear. So what I enjoy about being interviewed by you, Wes, is that I just get an opportunity to encourage people that your time here on earth is short. God did incredible things in order to buy your salvation into heaven. You've come at a very great cost. If you think about it logically, you don't really need to be afraid of telling people. All you can lose is your life, you know. All you can lose is everything. Eternity is yours. And here in Australia, you know, we have horrible rates of Christianity. I don't know if the church is growing or increasing, but it's just not enough for me. I want to see revival. I want to see the church absolutely chock full. I'm a married man. I'm nearly 50 years old. So it's my job to just chase men. If I can fill the church with men, we'll get all the women as well. And big shout out to my church as well. I go to C3 at Bridgman Downs. It's now called Lighthouse. Pastors Andrew and Wendy, Jono and Nick. Love my church.
Head down as I punch this clock. The hours roll, they never stop. And I can't ever seem to get ahead. Always trying to do what's right. Straight and narrow's getting tight. Don't know how much longer I can stand. And I'm wondering, yeah, I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Out here on this desert road, it's hot as fire, but I've grown cold. Circling like a plane that never lands. And even though the questions change, the answers always stay the same. Maybe someday I will understand. So I'm wondering, got me wondering, where's my promised land? Yeah, I'm wondering. I'm wondering, where's my promised land? Well, I've run this earth for many years. If there's one thing I know, there's nowhere on this side of heaven where streets are made of gold. I've long laid down my grand illusions, looking toward the day that I'll be home. I won't give up on this race. Broken, but I still have faith that this old life is all part of a plan. And I can feel it in my soul. One day I'll stand before the throne with nothing left but hope in these two hands. Through all these seasons, I'm still believing you're my promised land.
Wes Leake, and it's my pleasure to have Hudson Dale joining us today. Hudson, you have a specific ministry that you do to men. You run these men's breakfasts. Tell us about the heart and compassion behind them and what your goal is with them.
I run about 4 breakfasts a year, and I invite absolutely every man that I can. It's in the thousands, and it's run as a community breakfast. I don't mention that it's it's an outreach or it's church related, because it's not. It's just me. But when men come to my breakfast, they have a really good time, no matter whether they're a Christian or a non-Christian. I keep a pretty specific kind of formula, and that comes out of my heart and who I am and trying to be genuine. I get speakers that are rough and real and fairly grassroots kind of masculine men. I'd like there to be a feat of strength or masculinity. So I've had all sorts of things like weightlifting, UFC, MMA fighters, boxing, wood chopping, things like that. And my invitation is very visual. So I don't just write words. I make sure there's a picture involved, because men are visual. I put on a big free feed of bacon and eggs, which is supplied by about 30 of my friends who come along to the breakfast as well. The show, so to speak, after the feed, I keep that quite short and punchy. I make sure the gospel is preached, but I don't want it to be weird, because I've got everyone there under false pretenses. So I make sure that it's, no one's getting up and saying, "Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb?" Try to keep it fairly not churchy. I have a coffee van on site, so there's a level of real professionalism. Everyone can buy a coffee for themselves and their mates, or a hot chocolate for the kids. I just keep it really like a wholesome family community kind of thing, aimed at men and kids and grandpas and old men. So I think that they've been getting bigger and bigger. They're becoming really successful, and we're starting to see some real fruit, which is awesome. A lot of conversations are sparked up. I'd like to think that men really start filtering into the church after a few visits to a Hudson men's breakfast.
Hudson, I've been to one of your breakfasts, and one of the things that really struck me was when I was talking to people and asked, "How do you know Hudson?" Most of them said to me that they've known you since primary school.
Yep.
So I think one of the keys to, and I'm going to use the word success, which is probably not the right word, is you are committed to building relationship with men. And not just for what their here and now is, but for the long term, which is fantastic.
I think it's pretty easy to be nice to people. I'm quite a bombastic, idiotic kind of character. I'm a bit of an extrovert. I'm a bit of a people person. So not everybody gets along with me. I do rub some people up the wrong way, but it's not usually out of bad intentions, you know. You can't be best friends with everybody, but you can try. And I used to be afraid that if people didn't like me, because I had dad issues growing up, I used to feel like people didn't like me, well, then they were destined to go to hell, because how could they give their life to God if possibly their one Christian friend, Hudson, wasn't instead with them in a friendship? Well, then they were doomed to hell forever, which is a ridiculous thing to think. But on the other hand, you know, I'm nearly 50 now, and I've been knocking on some of these people's doors forever, and they still haven't given their life to God. So I'm throwing away the fear of man. Every year I get older, I'm slowly more and more becoming braver and caring less about my friendship with these people and caring more about their salvation and where they end up for an eternity. Some of the relationships I'm having with these people, you know, they always ring me for advice, and they're always ringing me when the times get tough, and I'm very good at helping people at their lowest. I've got some things to help people as well. You know, I've got the trailer and I've got my property, and I try to be as giving as possible as I can be when I have money and that kind of thing. But some people, when they're really low and down, I'm like, "Well, you know, if you had just given your life to God, we actually wouldn't be in this position." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not giving your God an opportunity. I'm still doing my thing." And I'm like, "Well, you're just not low enough. You haven't hit rock bottom." And then they blow up. They're like, "My life's been this and that." And it's like, "Well, clearly your life hasn't been so bad that you're giving God a chance." So I am actually turning the screws on people more and more, because I feel like I'm coming into the last season of my life, and If they're not going to give their life to God now, when are they going to do it? You know, not everyone gets to do it on their deathbed. Not everyone gets to hang on a cross next to Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It's part of me that I want people to give their life to God out of a desperation to see the best for them. I've felt God's love. I've felt salvation. And my life isn't perfect all the time, but I don't know how people do life without God. It's just insane. My life is hard enough with God. I can't imagine how bad it would be without God. And so I want that for them as well. I want them to experience the love and the relationship. When I'm walking down the side of the road by myself, I'm not by myself. I've got a loving God who is my Father. He's my helper and he's my advocate. There's that sermon about, you know, when Moses, well, what have you got in your hand? And he had a stick. Well, I have a property. I have friends. I have barbecues. My beautiful wife, Marina, she's so supportive of my men's breakfast. She went to Bunnings and bought flat pan barbecues for me so that when the men turn up, you know, they just volunteer. They just get on the barbecue and start cooking. I have all of these things, and so I put them to use. See, I've got to do what I can for God, and then I'm praying that God does what he does. I'm praying for soft hearts. I have a vision of my house becoming like a field. And men are made ready to go to church. The big, scary decision to have a go at going to church. And if they're not ready, well, then they can just stay at my place for a bit longer. And they can just keep getting ready. I'm not a patient man, and yet I've been waiting for some of these guys for 50 years. But we can't give up.
You say that you'll come through, but it's been so long. It's like the desert sand goes on and on and on. But I believe there's something on the other side of all this waiting, where all of these tears will turn to celebrating. So no more holding back and no more hesitating, because I know you keep all your promises to me. Every word you speak in my heart is believing, standing in a future victory. All my hope in you, Lord, cause you always keep your promises. Yes and amen to eternity. You keep all your promises. You keep all your promises to me. You've been the cloud by day, you've been the fire by night. You never let me down, you never leave my side. I believe there's something on the other side of all this waiting, where all of these tears will turn to celebrating. So no more holding back and no more hesitating, because I know you keep all your promises to me. Trust the plan of a God who loves me, who's for me, who's good.
Wes Leake, and it's my pleasure to have Hudson Dale joining us today. Hudson, we're coming to a close in this part of the interview, and we're going to do a special extra interview with you today to give some more hands-on training stuff. But if someone is listening to this and they're thinking, it's time for me to make a decision to follow Christ, what would you say to them?
I would say, get by yourself and just cry out to God. Say, God, if you're real and if you exist, make yourself known to me. I give you my life. I'm sorry for everything wrong I've ever done. And then I would say, find somebody that you love and respect, a Christian man or woman, grab a hold of them and ask to be discipled and go to a church, go to a good local church. And if you go to a church and it doesn't align with you, go to another one. You can visit two or three churches every Sunday till you find a home and start giving and get amongst it and soak in God's love. It's not a formula. Just give your life to God and surrender yourself to him. Decide that your will counts for nothing. Decide that your will doesn't exist anymore and that God's will be done in your life, and try to be obedient. Find God in the Bible and at church. Give Wes a call. Give Hudson a call. Do something. It's easily done. God is easy to approach. You just turn around. Just turn around and choose God. It's really that simple.
Amen. It is that simple. And so we'd like to make an offer to you. If you've made that decision or you'd like to make that decision today and you want some more information about what it means to follow Christ and receive a free Bible, then we want to encourage you to reach out to us through History Makers, History Makers Radio website at historymakersradio.com, or email us at info@historymakersradio.com, and we'll send you some information about following Christ. So Hudson, the other thing we're going to encourage people to do is we're going to do an extra podcast today, and we're going to go into this in some more depth. So we're going to encourage you to head over to the History Makers Radio podcast at whatever podcast service you use. And we're going to go deeper into some of this. So we want to encourage you to do that as well. Well, Hudson, I think you're a history maker. You're making history in your own family's life and in those you're contact with as well. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Hudson. Reach out to Hudson. Reach out to historymakersradio.com. And we look forward to being in touch.
Love you heaps, Wes. Thanks heaps, man.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.